In India, it would be almost impossible to even imagine a former president of the country doing those things. They would have servants doing all these things. Cooking, making your own cup of tea or that sort of thing would be seen as too demeaning for a high government official in India. So it is a cultural attitude. And I think even within the same region, within Asia, for instance, you can see cultural differences. Japanese, Chinese, or Tibetan attitudes toward work may all be different. For example, nowadays inside Tibet, you can see differences between Chinese attitudes and Tibetan attitudes. The Chinese seem more preoccupied with money, whereas the Tibetan may take money for his services, but may also accept some chang or other things in payment. Take a Chinese tailor and a Tibetan tailor. Both have to make money to live. But you might see the Chinese tailor working day and night, trying to make money, money, money. But I think generally among Tibetans, money isn't as important. They may sacrifice earning more money so they can have more leisure time, time with their family and so on. Of course, the Chinese worker might become rich, but even though they may not become rich, the Tibetans don't seem to have much enthusiasm for sacrificing their time with family and other things just to make more money. Their view of life is based more on overall contentment. I think it is good that you raised the issue of cultural differences, because the approach to dealing with one's job, the attitudes toward work, and the nature of employment may vary from one culture to the next. These differences may be deeply ingrained in the culture. For example, on one hand, I think in warmer climates, where there may be an abundance of fruits and vegetables, where the weather is good and it is easy to grow crops, the people may take a more relaxed approach to life. They may place more emphasis on leisure time and have shorter working hours. On the other hand, in a colder climate, under harsher conditions, where survival is more difficult, this may have eventually given rise to cultures that placed much greater emphasis on hard work. In those northern climates and under those conditions, they had to find new ways to help survival. So they may have developed sea routes and eventually industry, science, technology, and these things. At least that is my belief. Anyway, in our discussions here, it is important to keep in mind that we are discussing work more from the standpoint of modern industrialized societies. From that perspective, some of the issues we are addressing may not really fit in a different society, for instance, in traditional Tibetan society.
Well, even though some Western attitudes toward work may not apply to Tibetan society and vice versa, I'm still wondering if certain aspects of the Tibetan attitude about work or certain practices might be applied to our society and become useful in the West. For example, you mentioned the Buddhist concept of right livelihood. Tibet was a thoroughly Buddhist country, so I'm wondering how those principles were integrated into that society. For example, the practice of choosing work that was not harmful. I assume that was a prime consideration when choosing one's work.
In the traditional society, most people automatically did the types of work their families did, the types of work I mentioned, nomads, farmers, merchants, and so on. But some people still engaged in work that was not in keeping with the principle of non-harm because they are butchers, metalsmiths who make swords, and so on. But these kinds of work were also generally hereditary.
Resisting his invitation to dispel my vision of the perfect Shangri-La, where everyone was merrily engaged in beneficial, non-violent work, I continued. Speaking of work and the implementation of the concept of non-harm, there was a fascinating fact that I read in a book that was based on conversations with you. In fact, you mentioned it in two different books, that there was a rule in Tibet that any new invention had to guarantee that it was beneficial, or at least not harmful, for at least 7 generations. The Dalai Lama registered surprise.
I haven't heard about that.
It was my turn to be surprised. That isn't true. It was attributed to you. He shrugged and laughed.